In Galatians 4 and verse 19, we're going to start there. It's good to be back together again this morning and to know the presence of the Lord in our midst and to just to know His love and His mercy and His grace and His understanding for us. That what a great and an awesome God that we walk with. Galatians 4 and verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. The Amplified puts it like this. My little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pains, until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within you. And the Message Bible, do you know how I feel right now? And will feel until Christ's life becomes visible in your lives, like a mother in the pain of childbirth. The word again means a new, or it denotes renewal. And the word formed is actually from the word metamorpho, which we get our word metamorphosis. Is to fashion or to form. And the word prevail, of course, as the other two translation puts it, is like the pains of childbirth. So Paul was in pain until Christ is formed in you. In fact, when we look at what Paul has written so much of the time, he is talking about that we know Him, or we come to know Him. Even Paul said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His suffering. He says, I count all things but done that I may win Christ. So the importance is to know Him. The psalmist says, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so does my soul pant after thee, O Lord. That I may know Him. And Paul was talking about until Christ be formed or molded in you. And it is our destiny, it is our promise that we put on the divine nature of God. We have been called to sonship. We have been called to become an expression of God in the earth. We have been called as ambassadors for God in this world. And we know that God is not going to send the angels down to proclaim this message of deliverance. God is not going to send Jesus in the flesh to proclaim this message of deliverance. But God in the eternity past, before the foundation of the earth, chose us in Himself and predestined us to sonship. And in the years of our lives, God has been forming Himself in us. He gave us the teachable heart. He caused us to come into the understanding of the revelation of sonship and the manifestation of the sons of God. And we're going through that. And Paul also says in Romans that our mind be not conformed or formed together with this world. And Jesus told us, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But He said, be transformed, metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. And when we look at the life of Christ, we've talked a lot about trust lately, but when we look at the life of Christ, Christ only did those things that He saw His Father do, and He only spoke those things that He saw His Father speak. He was the divine, uniquely begotten Son of God. He knew the Father. And it was out of that knowing that he became an expression of God in the earth. And the same with us. The Bible teaches us that as he is in this world, so are we. So God has predestined us to be manifested as sons in the earth. He has proposed that. And everything that he has proposed in himself, that he is going to perform. There's no doubt about it. God's going to perform it. He's going to have a manifested corporate son in the earth as an expression of himself, speaking deliverance into creation to set creation free from the bondage of sin and death and everything the curse of the law has brought. And so Paul was saying that until Christ be formed in you. Now in Romans 8 and verse 9, Paul said, you're in the flesh. You're not in the flesh, but you are not in the flesh. How plain can that be? How many times you've been to a church service and say, well, you need to get out of the flesh and get in the spirit. Well, the Bible says you're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So if God's Spirit's in us, we're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, now listen to this. If Christ be in you, the body, the flesh, is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of resurrection. So, I know I've said this before, that we need to take note of what God says about us. He said, be still and know that I am God. What does that being still tells us? That there's no work there. He tells us that we have ceased from our labor and we've entered into his rest. To be still and know that I am God. To stop. In Isaiah, he tells us, but they that wait, in waiting there is no work. There's nothing that you can do. But they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings of eagles. And the eagle is the bird that mounts to the highest of the heights. And they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So if we wait on the Lord, we mount up with the wings and the strength of the eagle, and we run and not get weary, and we walk and we don't faint. But it is waiting, and it is in being still. And he says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And in verse 11 he says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. We are his dwelling place. God dwells in us. We listen to what he says. That if that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us, that he's going to quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We are not debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh. That's not our destiny, to live after the flesh. But if you live after the Spirit, after the flesh, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, and here's the key to it, if you through the Spirit do mortify which is put to death, the deeds of the body, you shall live. No, see, the whole thing is that God in Abraham's day removed man out of the equation. But man wants to be put back in the question, and he wants to do works that he might please God. But it's not that. He said, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, you know, the simple thing is, and I've been seeing this for a while, is that do we honestly believe what He says about us? You see, that's where the mind being metamorphosed, being reformed or transformed or putting on the Christ, the realization that we have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. Not you shall have one day, but you have the mind of Christ. To begin to operate out of the mind of Christ. And see, in the mind of Christ, there is no sin consciousness. There is no self-righteousness. There is no works that we can perform that will bring salvation. But in the mind of Christ, there is rest. We have entered into His rest. We have entered into the knowledge and the understanding that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. That we are now the sons of God. And that as we behold Him, as we are being still before Him, as we are waiting before Him, as we are in relationship with Him and beholding Him, we are being changed, transformed, metamorphosed into the same image that He is. See, if we could change, we'd do it today. If man could do it, man, it would have already been done. Because that's what religion is based on today, is the do's. What you do, you know, you've got to be at church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And every time the doors are open, you've got to read your Bible every day. You've got to pray an hour every day. You know, if man could produce the manifestation within himself, he would have already done it. But we see that instead of man's relationship with God increasing, religion has become stagnant. Religion has ceased to grow. Whatever revival you were birthed into, whether it was the salvation only or the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the kingdom message or whatever, most or the majority of creation has settled down in that one move of God. God spoke that and that's it. Those that believe in the salvation by faith are still living under the revelation that Martin Luther gave. And that's as far as they've gone. That's all they see. And they labor under that revelation. And man has not seen anything any further. Those in the Pentecostal realm have not progressed very far beyond 1906. Those in the charismatic realm have not progressed very far between ahead of the 60s and the 70s. Saying the same old things. But God is telling us that if we live in the flesh, we're going to die. He has called us to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And of course, in Galatians 2:20, one of the scriptures that we can almost quote many times, most Christians can. Paul said, I'm crucified, I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. And that's what Romans tells us too. Know you not that you were crucified with Christ? You died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm in travail in birth again, birth pains again, until Christ be formed in you. How important is that? In Ephesians 3, verse 17, Paul was praying. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to understand with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Be still and know that I am God. We have talked about relationship, coming into a personal relationship with God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, hear me, know my voice, and they hear me, and they follow me. In Revelation, John asked, who are these? He was told, these are they that followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. You see, God's given us a teachable heart. Now in this hour that we're in, we stop, we wait, we stand still, and we listen for the voice of the Lord. Because the words that he speaks, they are life and they are spirit. And it is the word that he speaks within us. You can read the Bible. Thank God for that. Over and over again we can read it. Many people read the Bible. And it never has an effect on their lives. It never changes one thing within them. What brings change in our mind? What brings transformation in our mind? What brings metamorphosis in our mind, or our soul, or our heart, is the spoken word of God coming from within us. When God speaks, hallelujah, that word becomes life and spirit. That word brings change within us. That word brings us into a closer and deeper relationship with our Father. That word builds trust within us toward our God. Because we are spirit beings, first and foremost. We have a body, we live in a body, and we have a soul. The body is a vehicle that carries the spirit, and we have a soul. And it's that mind, that heart, that soul that is between our two ears that is being changed. And God's manifested sons, before they are manifested, will have come to a place of complete trust in him. That's why Jesus could say, when he speaks, I speak. When he says to the sick, behold, I know it's going to happen because I've seen it, that it's already done. When he went to Lazarus' grave to call Lazarus forth, he already knew what was going to happen because he had seen the Father do it. And he knew that when he spoke the words, the results were going to come. And beloved, that's the same way with you and I. We are coming through all that we're walking through in this hour that is causing us to understand that our Father will never let us down. That what he has proposed for our lives, what He has spoken through us, in us, and over us will be accomplished and will come to pass, that His power is greater. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, he said, and He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Until we all come. See, that is an until ministry. All of those ministries are until we all come, first of all, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until Christ be formed in you. Again. See, that we came out from God. We're being processed through God. And we're returning to God. So the ministry is that we come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the siege of men, and cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, Christ. See, it's all coming to a personal relationship with Him. Getting together like this is wonderful. Absolutely glorious to be able to sit with those that you know are passing the way that you're passing. That even in different ways, we're all going through the same things that is causing us to come into a perfect trust, into the full measure of Christ, that we are being clothed upon with Christ, that we're coming into that understanding of who He is, of the work that He did, and seeing that that same work is going to be accomplished in us, that creation is going to be set free. Colossians 1:26, it says, even the mystery that which is hid, that has been hid in ages past, from generation, but now is made manifest, to whom God will make known what is the riches of His glory, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then finally in Colossians, the third chapter, he says, if or since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Since you have been raised with Christ to a new life, and we have been raised to a new life. The old things have been passed away. The new man has come, thus sharing His resurrection from the dead. And that's what it is. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And God has resurrected us from that death of trespasses in sin and has seated us at His right hand. Aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at His right hand. Set your affections on things above and not on this earth. Verse 3, very plain. For you are dead. Do you know that? Have you come to understand that? You're dead. I am crucified with Christ. Know you not that you were crucified with Christ? He's told us that enough. We're dead. We are dead. But your life is hid with Christ in God. For as far as the world is concerned, the Amplified says, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. We're dead. But our new real life, that which we have been birthed into, is hid with Christ in God. And then in verse 4 he says, when Christ, who is our life, in Him we live and move and have our being. He is the breath that we breathe. He is closer than the breath we breathe. He is within us. He fills us. He dwells within us. He said, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we also shall appear with Him in glory. You see, it's Christ being formed in you. The work that is being worked within God's people in this hour is a hidden work. Because manifestation means an unveiling. That's what He's going to do. He is going to unveil His work into creation. Creation is standing on tiptoes with their neck outstretched, looking for, waiting for the manifestation, the unveiling of the sons of God. Because creation, hallelujah, is going to be set free from the bondage of the curse that it has been under. That there will be no more curse. Creation is longing, even though they don't know what they're looking for. What they're longing for, they don't have the understanding. But when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with Him in glory. In Psalms, the 91st Psalm, I'd just like to finish by reading that first verse. He that dwelleth or lives in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, God is our dwelling place. God is our dwelling place. And coming to know Him intimately cannot happen by walking or running or doing. But He said, be still and know that I am God. When the prophet was on the mountain, the fire passed by, the earthquake came, the storms came, but God was not there. But then in a still, small voice, He heard God. Oh, beloved, that we may take the time to cease from our labors, to stop from all that we're trying to accomplish, and to come aside, and to be still, and to wait, and know that He is God. To come into that relationship. See, we want to pray. That's our understanding. We want to pray all the time. But we need to stop and let God speak. Listen to His voice. in the midst of us, to hear what He has to say to us. Behold in Him, that He may reveal Himself to us. You know, so many times, men or Christians, all they want is some new revelation, something they haven't heard before. But the fact is that we've got to learn in what we've walk in what we've already heard, so that God can reveal more unto us. And it's only as we are waiting in His presence, as we're being still in His life, as we hear what He has to say to us, that we are being changed and transformed and metamorphosed into the same image that He is. That glorious day of unveiling is going to come. And when it comes, we're going to be ready. We can be assured of that. We're going to be ready. We're not going to miss it, but we're going to be ready. Hallelujah, because we have entered into a relationship with Him. Jesus' prayer in the 17th chapter of John, Father, that they may be one, even as we are one. You think of that one statement. He said, Father, I don't pray that You take them out of the world, just keep them from the world. But that they may be one as we are one. Christ being formed or fashioned or molded in you. That we may become one with God, even as Jesus was one with God. He was the brightness of His expression, the outraying of the expression of God. Jesus was God in the flesh. And we are becoming one with Him, even as Jesus was one with Him. That they may be one, even as we are. Hallelujah. So we cease from our doing, and we stop, and we be still, and we wait that we may know Him in the fullness of who He is, in the understanding and the essence of the reality of the God that we walk with, that our life is being consumed by Him. He is the refiner that sets over the furnace. He is refining us. He knows the temperature that needs to be in our lives that changes us. And beloved, I submit to you that as God is refining the gold that we are, that as we wait before Him, as we listen to His words, all of the dross, all of that we have fought with all of the years begins to flow off. That the pure gold might be seen by our Father when He looks at us. That as He is, so are we in this world. We are now His sons. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are His children. That we're chosen in Him before the foundation of the earth to become an expression of God Almighty in this world. And that's what we are. We are becoming an expression of God in this earth. And it comes out of a personal relationship with Him. Father, we just thank You. How can we praise You enough with this mortal tongue? You are so glorious and so wonderful, and so powerful and so almighty. You fill the whole universe, yet we are Your dwelling place. You are all-knowing. You're everywhere present. Oh, Father, we just praise You and love You for the joy and the peace that we share in You in this hour. May we stop each and every day and pause to listen to Your voice, to hear You within us expressing Your words to us, that we may walk with You, Father, And that as our minds are being transformed by your word, that we are ever growing more dependent and more trusting in you as we know more and more who you are. Oh, Father, we love you, we adore you, we worship before you. For great is our God, and greatly to be praised is our Lord and our Savior. Father, we bless you with everything within us. Amen.
Amen.